Satch Williams and some dude named after a 1940s cartoon baby who was in reality a gangster on the run from the police.
I think that one keeps getting longer and longer every time.
That one's my favorite just for how arbitrarily stupid it is.
Meh, see? You don't remember that little cartoon baby? Meh, see? Got a plan, see? Gonna rob the bank, see? Meh.
No, I don't remember. Because I was also a baby.
No, this is way before any of us. And before Ray was born, I'm pretty sure.
Jeez. Ottoman Empire was still around.
Welcome back into the Afternoon Stretch. Bruno Reagan, Ray Dosky, Zach Williams coming to you live from the Strike and Spare Family Fun Center studio here on Nashville Sports Radio. We got a good Vandy football discussion about to happen here, which, you know, obviously Bruno Reagan has. I didn't even say this earlier. Bruno Reagan, we were at Titans training camp, and somebody yells, "Hey, Bruno!" And then, you know, Bruno turns around, I turn around. And someone has Bruno Reagan's game-worn number 61 Vandy football jersey sitting there and wants an autograph.
Yeah, that was awkward.
I did not
like that.
I could not believe that.
I didn't believe it was my own number until you told me.
Yeah, you didn't even see the number. You didn't realize it was your jersey. It was literally a jersey that would have never touched your hands ever again. And so that was just, I mean, that happened today at camp, so it works out really well. But now we got two guests. They are the host of the Believe in Vandy podcast. We have first Ryan Seymour, of course, also former Vandy alum, Vandy football player, also went on to the NFL vet. And we also have Matthew Perkins, that's going to be joining us as well. Guys, first off, Ryan, hello.
Hello, guys. How you doing? I'm amazed you guys got a segment scheduled out of your day to talk about some great football.
Yes, sir. We're going to talk some great football.
Yeah, we're going to talk. Now, let me say hello to your compadre there, Matthew Perkins. Matthew, how are you doing today?
I'm good. Thanks for having me, guys.
Absolutely. So, first off, let me ask about you doing the podcast together. Matt, let me ask this. Who started the podcast? Because I know obviously you're on the Believe Network, but who got together and was like, I need to do this, and then did I find Ryan, or did Ryan find Matt? Which one happened?
Well, I started the podcast myself here in Nashville, and then I had a previous co-host who introduced me to Ryan, and Ryan and I just kind of clicked when he was on one time, and the previous co-host had to take a leave of absence, and the second that happened, I called up Ryan and said, hey, you want to do this full-time with me? And thank God he said yes.
Well, just like Bruno, he matched that I had a face for radio, man, so podcast was the next best thing.
Yeah, that's, first off, tremendous dig at Bruno, which is exactly what I wanted out of this.
Yeah. Dude, Ryan, you're supposed to be on my side. This is already scuffed.
So let me start with Ryan. Of course, you can follow him on Twitter. He's verified as well, at CMonster62, but the C is S-E-Y. So when you look back, obviously, your playing days of Vandy, when you look at that, compare it to, because you were in the Franklin era, correct?
Yes, sir. Yep.
So when you look back to that era, you saw what happened in the Mason era, and now we are in the Clark Lee era of things. What is your first initial thoughts when you think Vandy football?
Oh, goodness. When I think of Vanderbilt football today, you know, it's definitely not memories that I have when I was playing back in, I guess, 2012 was my senior year. To see the program, obviously, since my absence or since I left, you know, like you mentioned, the Mason era, not the Clark Lee era. Man, when I think of Vanderbilt football, I think of the players, and I think, like, it's really got to be frustrating to be one of these guys who decided to commit to Vanderbilt and has unfortunately spent their time, you know, under the umbrella that we see today, man. I mean, it was so nice. Obviously, when I was playing, it just seemed like we got better every single year. We finished 9-4 my senior year. Then the year I left, we did it again. But, you know, the current Vanderbilt football is just really needs some help, man. And it's just a shame because coming off of James Franklin, it just proved that Vanderbilt can win, and we proved that we can do it. And so that was the new standard when I left. and to see the standard kind of drop to where it is now, where we're just praying we get an SEC win, I just don't like that mentality. And that's something we discussed in our podcast, is just that I think we need to reset the tone of what the expectations are, and I think the expectations right now are just at an all-time low.
Well, and I think that's a sentiment that goes across a lot of Vandy, not only players that from your era and your time, but also still, I mean, Bruno, obviously, in the Mason time, where you saw the change and essentially you saw that Vandy can be a winning program. I mean, those were obviously some of the best years of Vandy's time. Another co-host of mine for play-by-play is another former teammate of yours, Joe Townsend. And I hear from him all the time about how he looks at
Hendersonville's finest.
Yeah, there you go.
He's the mayor.
Yeah, no, he's Mr.
The, he's the mayor out there.
Yeah, he's the Mr. Hendersonville. That's for sure. I know he's listening to us right now as he's out there playing golf. So you know, hopefully he just got himself.
He married the boss's daughter like I did.
Yes, exactly. He was wise. He was wise what he did after his days were over playing. But
that's right.
But it has been something. Do you think there's a chance that Clark Lea is? Well, let me ask you this. Actually, let me change the question here. Has this Clark Lea era or anybody from Vanderbilt, have they reached out to you? Have they been in contact with you or maybe other people that are, former players from those years that were best success to bring y'all in or talk to y'all in any kind of fashion?
I will definitely say Clark Lea has done a much better job than Coach Mason did. Under Mason's staff, I felt like I was the black sheep. I mean, I made so many attempts to reach out to, I guess, Jason, who was like one of their like player personnel guys. But I would make attempts to go to practice or come see games, and I would basically just get ghosted. I even texted Coach Mason a few times, like, hey, just check it in. Never got a response. I even tweeted that last year, kind of the difference. But, like, James Franklin, I texted him on, like, a Tuesday. Later that night, he immediately got back to me. Hey, Ryan, glad to hear from you. Hope you're doing well. You know, I have, like, five or six texts from Coach Mason where literally just the read receipts were on, but never a response. I will say under Clark Lea, they have done a much better job of trying to get, I guess, former players more involved. I've seen that, at least from the offensive line perspective, Coach Blazek has reached out to me quite a bit. He's even had a couple former players even come, I guess, assist during training camp this year or spring ball, which is really nice to see. Obviously, if you get players in there, especially a couple good guys, Williams in there, a couple other NFL guys. So that was really nice to see. I definitely love, things that Clark Lea is doing. I mean, Bruno and I kind of talked about this a little earlier today about maybe what my expectations were going into his first year. We can get into that a little more. But, I think he's doing a really good job, I think, of trying to engage former players, the community. He's doing all the right things. I mean, you see him out there, he's doing, giving the speeches, traveling around. You always see him on a helicopter, going to see high schools, doing conferences, et cetera. So I do like that aspect. I have felt a heck of a lot more welcome than I did under the Mason era.
Now, Matt, I wanted to ask you something. Were you surprised to see Mike Wright named early on as the starter? No competition going into really even the summer or the fall. They just kind of were like, we're going to ride with this guy. Did that surprise you at all, someone who's kind of been following, even the off-season stuff with Vanderbilt football, which there are very few people that do. Did that kind of surprise you? I was surprised they made that decision, but I was kind of happy they did. At least they know who they're going to ride with.
I was a little bit surprised, but I was a lot elated, I guess I would say. I was glad that they made the decision and stuck with it, and it allows them to have an identity from the jump instead of trying to juggle two quarterbacks who, while both talented, have very different skill sets. I also think by losing Tyler Steen, your best offensive lineman, who was the blocker who was far and away most effective last year, you're going to need someone who can probably scramble a little bit more because, let's face it, the offensive line this season is not quite a vintage one as it was with Ryan and maybe to a little bit less of Bruno playing. But I think that you need Mike Wright's escapability and his, the chance that he can make a play on the move is much higher than Ken Fields, even if Ken is a much more poised pocket passer.
Yeah, and I think me and Ryan were talking about that earlier. It's not even that Ken is like a bad quarterback or anything, but it's just so unfortunate that this guy is stuck in, a terrible situation. The talent around you isn't that good. you're expected to be, you know, if you're not an all-star, you're not going to pick up the slack, you know. So unless you're like the next NFL guy, like, I mean, Jay Cutler, then the only one, like, I think six games also. That's what we're talking here. Like, Ken Seals has every card stacked against him. So it's kind of, you know, it's just kind of that. It's so frustrating to see a guy like that not get his fair shake. And I totally get why they went with Mike Wright. You know, when I saw them take him the media days, that was, you know, I knew that was it.
The other thing that I believe, at least to maximize the potential for this offense, Mike Wright, and I feel like Will Shepard has a much better connection with Wright than he did with Seals. And especially when he's on the move, I feel like just Will Shepard has this ability to get to the open space where he needs to be when Wright is scrambling. And I think that's going to be obviously really important for this offense.
All right, gentlemen, let's get down to it. I am very tied emotionally, spiritually, financially with Vanderbilt winning three or more games this season. Please, Ryan, you start, then Matt, you go next. Speak it to me how it happens.
Oh, man. Well, if anyone is familiar with Vanderbilt's football schedule this year, the last, I think, seven or eight games are a fully loaded SEC schedule. So we're going to need to see some success early, I guess, if Vanderbilt wants to see three wins this year. They got to pull the win off against Hawaii and then Eastern Illinois and then Elon. If they can win those three games, I think we might pull off another SEC win. But if we start off the season slow, if for some reason the travel gets the best of Vanderbilt and somehow loses against Hawaii under game opener, I think we're going to see a long season. We might finish 2-10. I think we beat Elon and then maybe pull off an SEC win. You know, again, just to see a lot of where, I mean, the SEC is looking pretty stacked right now, and especially looking at our schedule, just the back-to-back grueling schedule, I guess you could say. They definitely have a long road ahead. Obviously, I want nothing but the best of these guys, but my predictions are going to be in the future. I'm really sorry. Oh, I'm going to get blasted for that, but I think 2-10 is where we're going to finish this year. I'd say we...
Hold on, Ryan, repeat exactly what you said. Your phone cut out right after you said whatever it was you said that you're going to get blasted for. What are you going to get blasted for?
I've got us at 2-10 this year.
Yeah.
Mm. I thought
which
maybe
is not an improvement.
I thought maybe Candace Story Lee put on a cell phone jammer there to get whatever he said off the
Ryan,
air.
Ryan, frankly, if we don't beat Hawaii, I'll burn McGugan down myself. All right, Matt, what are you thinking for this season, Matt?
Bruno, do you know when they are heading to the islands before the game? Like, how many days they're going to be in Hawaii before the game?
Are they going to leave on a Tuesday? I don't know.
Because I think the game on like a Thursday or Friday or something. It's not on Saturday. It's on like a Thursday, isn't it? But for such a travel, I would hope that they would spend an extra day or two. I don't know if they're going. I still think they're going to win because I think Hawaii is, I mean, they're a wreck of a program. They've had so many issues recently with funding. I mean, it's been a mess there. Elon should be a win, but hey, you know, we saw what happened against ETSU last year. Northern Illinois is, oh, gosh, one of probably the three worst teams in all of FBS football this year. So I feel like that's a win, Bruno. I like the three wins, and there's part of me that wants to say 4-8 because maybe I have gold-colored tinted glasses here. South Carolina's offensive line is absolutely atrocious, and I don't know if Spencer Rattler is going to be able to overcome that so much. I don't know. South Carolina at home, you know, you never know.
Hey, Matt, we haven't beat South Carolina. Ryan, did you ever beat South Carolina while you were at Vandy?
I did not. No,
me
I
neither,
lost.
And they haven't since.
I lost Connor Shaw and got my ass by...
you're good.
By what's his name?
Now, yeah, I remember Connor Shaw. Hey, Connor Shaw wasn't very talented. That guy was tough as nails, dude. I remember that guy. I think that was a tough one.
Him and Clowney. That was a tough loss against at Vandy my senior year.
Ryan, so Bruno wants this year, if there's going to be an SEC win, he wants it to be South Carolina for that exact reason. What is yours that if there's an SEC win that Vandy can pick up, which one would you want it to be? If you could just lay a pin down and say this is a guaranteed win, it's going to happen no matter what. Which one is it that you would rather have them win?
That's a good question. I definitely would love to see a win against South Carolina. I just feel like we always play those guys really tight, played them really tight again last year, and for some reason just always come up short. So I'm going to have to stick with South Carolina. I think that would be a great win for the program just because, gosh, we play them so close every year. Even my senior year, we played them extremely close, took it all the way to the fourth quarter. So I'd like to see a win against South Carolina. That actually would be a really good win, I think.
Matt, same question, but for you.
It's Tennessee every year.
Yeah, that's the band answer. Personally, I would be like Alabama just to watch that program explode. Could you imagine? Tuscaloosa might like fall into a sinkhole. It would be the next Atlantis. People would be like, "Have you the fallen city?" You know,
I picked the program that I think we could actually win, Bruno.
In his question, he was like, any of them. It just happened.
Yeah, no. You know?
We're not beating Bama in the next 20 years. No. It's not happening.
No. I would love to beat Georgia, but that's not going to happen.
Hey, I did it. So, you never know. It just happens sometimes.
UT, man. I expect to beat UT every year, man. That's just me.
Matt, what were you saying?
I would say Bruno may have been Georgia, but I think Zach Cunningham beat Georgia with Bruno.
Yeah. Yeah, Zach, 100%. Our offense had 170 yards that game, and we won. So that's hilarious.
Oh, that's so good. Well, boys, we appreciate y'all coming on. Of course, your podcast. When is the drop dates? When do they come out? How can people find it?
We've got season preview dropping late next week. We're available, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, all of the places you can find podcasts anywhere in the world. We are worldwide.
There you go. Ryan Seymour, Matthew Perkins. You can catch them on the Believe Network, the Believe Vandy podcast. Hopefully, guys, we can get you back on for a couple different times throughout the season.
That would be fantastic, man. Looking forward to it.
Absolutely. Thank you guys for coming on. Once again, go follow them on Twitter. It is at CMonster62, and then the other is at _Perko_. They're on Twitter. Ryan Seymour and Matt Perkins have been our guest, host once again of the Believe Vandy podcast. Hey.